Ian Happ joins us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He's on Twitter at IHAP_1. Ian, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How do you feel about your season?
That's a good question. Some positives, you know, a lot of positives. I think you look back, you feel good about making career highs, feel good about some of the production, but it's also a challenge when you look at a tough first month or second month and a tough kind of last 3 weeks, and then you look at the team record and where things end. And so it's always interesting, especially right after the year, having to look back and make a judgment.
We just heard Jed Hoyer give his postmortem press conference, and I don't know if you got to hear what he had to say, but he talked about the collective slump in May and June, and he said that our guys got essentially to their expected numbers, but the Cubs never recovered from that May and June slump. There was some back-end bullpen issues, and there were obviously an offensive drought in there. Is that fixable, or is that just variance?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that, especially a kind of a prolonged stretch like that. I think it's rare. It's probably an anomaly for that group to go through something like that. I don't know that there's a specific way to combat a tough lull like that. And, you know, I think that happens from time to time with a team where things just feel like they're going backwards on you, whether that's offensively or pitching. And so I don't know that there's a specific right answer for it. I think we were capable of winning more games than we did this year. And that's an easy kind of part of the season to point to.
And when you look at the way things went down and just kind of where you are compared to the teams you were chasing towards the end of the season, one of the things that were brought up was Wrigley Field itself and how it played so poorly for offensive baseball. I guess it was seventh best a year ago, just 29th at last check this year. How much did that factor in, do you think, to what happened with the offense and maybe the lull or just maybe overall, and how surprising was that?
I think it definitely plays into offense production. I mean, overall, you look at the last 10 games we played at Wrigley, the Cincinnati series, there was not a home run. The Yankee series, there wasn't a home run. You look back at those last 10, 15 games at Wrigley, it was really hard to produce. There was no doubles except for down the line. I think that last Red series, you saw two or three doubles total, and they're both down the line. There's no production in the middle of the field, doesn't matter how hard you hit the baseball. That's a tough place to be. It was like that all year. It was definitely the worst run scoring environment that I've seen at Wrigley since I've been here. And it was pretty continuous. So that's part of it. It's part of low scoring games. And when you have low scoring games for an extended stretch or that's, pretty normalized, I think then you are relying a ton on defense and bullpen and trying to win just tight one run games. But in general, I think that our offense as a whole had a decent year. And if you look at the road splits, like we were an above average, really good offense on the road. So that was just part of playing at Wrigley this year. And the 3 year rolling for how they calculate WRC plus and OPS plus aren't going to tell you the full story of just how challenging it was at Wrigley this year.
Another theme from the Hoyer press conference today was the need for overperformance. And he talked about that. And he said that you can't only rely on the guys hitting their projections. The good teams, if you look at playoff teams, they have people surpass their projections. I wonder how that feels to hear from a player's perspective when you have been given a contract based on what your expectations have been. You had essentially what's been a representative Ian Happ season this year, if not slightly better, even when we start looking at things like WRC+. Do you feel pressured to then overachieve? Are you supposed to be, have better than a representative Ian Happ season?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we all want to have, as players, we all want to have our best season. You know, we all want to go out there and be 4 or 5 plus win players. You know, there is a part of just going out there every day and being available and being a productive big leaguer that's important. There's also, you know, the projections are interesting because I bet you I was projected for 2.5, sub-3 wins this year. I don't think I would have been projected for 3 wins because the projection model takes the 50%, you know, outcome, and there's some really bad outcomes in there. There's some really good outcomes in there, but essentially, and it ages you off a cliff. So like essentially every year, you know, you, the more information it has, the higher your projection is. But like, I don't think I've ever been projected as a 3 WAR player in my career, but I've been a 3 or 4 WAR player, the last 3.5 win player for the last 3 years. So, you know, again, next year, when you look at my projection, it'll be 2.5 ish. And so if I'm a 3.5 win player, that's outperforming, you know, what, how much outperformance, you know, varies. And of course, when you have teams that have, you know, huge standout performances and guys that, that have monster seasons, it's a massive boost. It's huge. And it makes a big difference. I think when you go back and you look at the, you look at the 16 team, I'm sure that was a massive outperformance of a bunch of those young players. And the superstar players also, like, they're never going to be projected for an 8-win season, even though they go out and do it every year. It's just part of kind of, you know, the nature of the projection. So, yeah, some of it's positional too. But I think as players, you know, we want to go out and put up those type of seasons. You want to make an impact and have that positive impact on the team. And the more that, you know, the more value you're providing, obviously, the better.
I'm curious as to your thoughts on finishing 83-79 for a second year in a row and how different this year's record felt compared to last year. I mean, obviously, last year you finished officially a game out of a playoff spot, a little more ground to make up in this 83-79, but how different do the seasons feel in their totality?
Yeah, super different. I think last year felt like we were building to something and that, you know, we made a really good run at it and just didn't quite get there. You know, this year it was, we were clawing the whole time. But, you know, it's, if our worst seasons, the ones that we're really disappointed about and absolutely hate, are winning seasons, I think that that's a positive. You know, I've been, it's my 8th season. I've had six out of 8 winning seasons here. You know, not getting to the playoffs enough, but if your bad ones are, you know, missing it and still having a winning record, I think that there is something there to be, you know, that's a standard, I think. But we want to win more games. You know, it was an interesting year with the parity of no 100 win teams. It was different from last year when teams win 100, 105 games and beat up on other guys. You know, that it makes it a lower barrier to get into the playoffs. I think you might not see that as much anymore, just with the way that clubs are running and how things are operating. So, you know, it might take 90 wins to make it to the playoffs on a yearly basis. There might be a lot of teams that are closer to each other. So that's what we have to strive for. And we have to figure out a way to get back in the conversation and kind of be able to punch our ticket next year.
What is your off-season routine entail now at this stage of your career? As you get, you know, further into your adulthood and you're a veteran professional player now, what is the off-season changing now for you?
Not a ton. It's pretty similar. You know, I'll take a couple weeks off. Just got back to Austin. I'll take a couple weeks off and then I'll start back up, you know, back moving around in the weight room and prepping. You know, it takes a lot to get ready for 162 games. I think that, you know, that's, you really make a lot of your gains and maintaining of performance kind of through the off season. So there's a ton of work that goes into resetting the body from what was a long season and then getting it back ready to go. We're going to have a unique challenge of heading out a little bit earlier this year and going to Japan. So that'll change things a little bit, but it's a couple weeks of rest and I'm back at it.
Curious as to if you're the kind of guy who just tunes out what's going on with baseball now that the season's over, or will you follow the playoffs closely?
I'll pay attention a little bit. my podcast companions will get a little upset with me if I have no idea what's going on. There's some years that it's easier to watch than others. I got buddies that are playing still and that I'll root for. But it is still, it's tough to watch the playoffs when you're not in it. So I'll keep tabs a little bit. I'll see what's going on. I'll leave it up to kind of Tom. I think Zach's, I don't know if Zach's going to watch a ton either. So we'll leave it up to Tom and Dakota to be really locked in, but I'll be following enough.
Is there a bucket list golf course that you can check off this off season, perhaps?
I don't have anything super serious planned yet on the golf front. But we'll see. There might be something that comes together. I'm definitely going to get out some point this week and play a little bit once we're done unpacking. But it's a good time of year to be playing golf in Austin.
I can imagine. So now with Connect Roasters and everything else that you have had another season to help build, I don't know what you are going to plan for next season or how closely you're going to stay involved with the efforts here in and around Chicago.
Yeah, we had a great year at Connect. It was really, the home run club and being involved with the fans was awesome. It was really great to do multiple meet and greets and have everybody get together. So, we're excited for the holiday season always sneaks up on us. So we're excited to start working on that and getting the holiday kind of packaging wrapped up and stuff for people to gift. So that's our main goal right now. The cafes in Bourbonnais, we'd love for people to make a trip down and check it out during the winter. But, we will be announcing some holiday things coming soon, and we're hoping that people are real excited for it.
And lastly, we got the news that the players' voices were heard, and it sounds like they're gonna unscrew all the uniform problems. So that's a positive going into next year.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of a slow unwind. I didn't read exactly what it is, but last I heard it was same jersey, bigger numbers for 25, and then back to the old jersey in 26. I don't know if that's right, but
wait. I heard some, like, road might be before home, but by the end of this coming season, everything will be back to normal, including the customized pants.
Yep, customized pants are back. That's a big one. Customized pants are back. Yeah, hopefully we'll get back to the same jersey material by the end of 26 or sometime soon. But the numbers and the names will be a little bit bigger again, back to close to what, almost, not quite, but close to what they were. So should be a better look.
And I've heard I'm supposed to, on behalf of the bleachers, say thanks for the beers.
That was those guys, girls are out there every day. They're unbelievable. Out of 81 games, if they're not at one, I'm shocked. It's an amazing support system out there. They're positive. They get it and they care. And I appreciate, how much they're invested in what we're doing every day.
And with the stuff you did for Kyle Hendricks is really cool. That was really nice. And it seemed like it really mattered to him.
Yeah, he's the ultimate pro. I mean, he's the example of what it means to be a Chicago Cub. He is the definition of what you want in a teammate, what you want young guys to aspire to and to look up to. It was, see what happens. We would love to have him back and be a part of this, but he deserves all the love that he was getting from the Cubs fans. He'll be they play that Cubs legends on the board, one of the in-between innings, and all the guys that are in the stands that get the ovation, he'll be one of those guys. He's a massive, massive piece of this organization. He'll be a Cubs Hall of Famer, and he did it the right way.
Ian, have a terrific offseason. Hit him straight, and here's to good health. Thanks for everything of doing this year, for all of your availability and your insight. We appreciate it, and I know the listener does too.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good off season.